Pressure, lob pass left side. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! He is sacked by Gerald McCoy.
We roll on here on this edition of the Pewter Panel, kind of a post-draft wrap-up to free agency and much more. And again, Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, Scott Smith here from Buccaneers.com, and Scott Reynolds from PewterReport.com with us. Okay, so let's now talk about the NFC South and what the Panthers, Falcons, and Saints were able to do. Scott Reynolds, we'll begin with you. What stood out of the three Buccaneer opponents that we'll see the most over the next few years?
I think the Saints draft jumped out at me the most for two reasons. Brandon Cooks and Stanley Jean-Baptiste. I think that when you look at what Tampa Bay did in the draft, offensively, especially getting Mike Evans, Austin Seferian Jenkins, and pairing those guys with Vincent Jackson, now you have 3 6-foot-5 targets in the passing game. So you need to counter that. And New Orleans did that by getting a 6'2", 6'3", type cornerback in Stanley Jean-Baptiste. The Atlanta Falcons did not. They've got the smallest cornerback group. I don't think there's anybody over 5'11".
Wow.
In Atlanta's mix. But when you look at New Orleans with their defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, they get it. It's all about matchups. And, you know, with Keenan Lewis now, who's a bigger corner, Champ Bailey, who's, you know, a little long in the tooth, but still he's got some decent size. And now that guy, then you throw into the mix the first-round pick, Brandon Cooks, on that AstroTurf with Drew Brees, your bombs away. That's a scary sight because that's pure speed there, and the guy can do more than just run deep routes. He was a playmaker big time at Oregon State.
Scott, I groaned audibly when they traded up and made that pick. That was the one pick I really didn't like because I really did like it for them in the first round. You know, the great Drew Brees is still great, but he's been hemorrhaging weapons lately. I mean,
right.
Darren Sproles is gone. I know Sproles is a running back and Cooks is a receiver, but I think he could do a lot of
the same things.
I think Brandon Cooks and that offense takes on a lot of what Darren Sproles used to do, and that's scary.
Roy Cummings, what stood out? Falcons, Saints, Panthers out of what they did?
I still think the biggest move to me was what the Saints did with Brandon Cooks. I think that was a special player, and they got him, and to me, that's the one thing that scares me. Also, Jake Matthews to the Falcons, I think that's, you know, it was a no-brainer of a pick, and I think it just makes the situation there better for them. They're obviously rebuilding that line, trying to protect Matt Ryan, and he needs protection, and you know, it's somewhat unfortunate for the Bucs, but, you know, I still like the way the Bucs counter with their moves.
What's interesting is out of the Carolina pick, there are a lot of Florida State fans that are out there that are also Buccaneer fans, and all of a sudden the name Kelvin Benjamin, Carolina Panthers. Now he's suddenly, welcome to the pros, the enemy.
Was any team in the South especially, but maybe in the NFL, more tied to their needs than the Panthers going into this draft? I mean, they had to take a receiver, right? I bet every mock draft in Atlanta had him taking somebody. I'm not sure that Kelvin Benjamin is my favorite one. He's a bit of a project, right? But they kind of followed the list, and the others that were rated higher were gone.
You know, based on what everybody—excuse me for interrupting.
No.
Based on what everybody did, the other teams, every one of them targeted offensive-minded players primarily with their first picks, including the Buccaneers, which is why, going back to what we talked about with Charles Sims, I think this division is—it's already been kind of an offensive-oriented division for a while now with quarterbacks. But I think it's even leaning more and more towards that. And I think that's why the Buccaneers probably, maybe in some ways, felt, hey, in order to keep pace here, we've got to add weapons. And that's why Charles Sims works here, where, yes, you do need guard help, but you need weapons too. Because let's face it, Carolina added a weapon. The Saints added a weapon. And to me, Jake Matthews helps create weapons for the Falcons.
And don't forget,
because he's going to protect the quarterback.
Julio Jones and Roddy White come back healthy,
allegedly. Right.
And
it's not like they didn't need a receiver,
right.
But they got a guy who can help them make use of those weapons, something they couldn't do all season.
Speaking about Tampa's weapons, the interesting thing about Mike Evans and Austin Seferian Jenkins and Charles Sims, all of those guys contributed as freshmen to their respective schools. And not just one-year wonders. These guys had productive sophomore seasons. And so I think the chances of them seeing, you know, early playing time in Tampa Bay really increases because of that experience. It didn't take these guys to stair-step their way to productivity in college. They made instant impacts with their respective programs, and I think those three guys can make an instant impact.
So the NFC South's becoming the antithesis of the NFC West, huh?
All
the greatest defenses.
It very well
may
be.
Those defenses in that. I mean,
look
what the Rams did.
This is an organization that built itself on defense, and it looks like it's going to do that again. But clearly, Lovie Smith is, you know, he has his eye on the offensive side of the ball.
You know, and as for Kelvin Benjamin, the interesting thing is that's the Bucs' first opponent, right? The Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
And with Cam Newton missing a lot of time this offseason, working with those new receivers, it bodes well for the Buccaneers, I think, drawing the Panthers first out of the mix.
That's good.
I like your point about Kelvin Benjamin being a project. I think that Mike Evans is more seasoned coming into the league than Benjamin is, and that might help the Buccaneers.
Let the record reflect that Scott Reynolds is the first one to get into the Week 1 scouting report, and it is only May. Okay, when we get back, one final time, we'll kick it around with what do the Bucs do now? Is there still a need out there now? Find out in a moment.